Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just sang about him. We read about him. And Lord, we just praise you, Lord. You have not left us here as orphans. Father, you care about us. You know we have issues, Lord, with our will. Lord, you know we need your power. And I pray, Lord, today that your spirit would work in our hearts as we hopefully better understand and are reminded of your word and your truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take me out of the way of that, Lord, and speak to each one of us, I pray. Give me clarity of thought, Lord, as I try to just kind of be the tour guide, Lord, as we look at scripture. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to praise God. God is bringing lots of life to our church. And yesterday was another one of those days and one of those weeks this week. And you can see yesterday we had about almost 100 students from Burlington Township High School. This is our second time. It was the girls and boys soccer teams. And they came to work in our food pantry ministry. And it was amazing. We did so many things. We got out our Thursday baskets yesterday. They painted windows. I'll show you some other pictures. They pulled out some weeds. They cleaned up the garden for us, Mary, and praise God, right? They did all kinds of stuff. They worked with in the kitchen. And I want to say a special thanks to Guy, to Pam Rothwell, to Marion Fair, to my wife Jane, and to Terry Kerner for helping us manage 100 kids with way more energy than we had. So we praise God. They did an incredible job, and it's a great experience for them to see what goes on out in the community and what goes on at church. And I share this a lot of times, in the world we live in today, church is foreign to a lot of our kids. They don't really understand what goes on here, and we just praise God. We had a chance to invite them in and have just a great ministry with them and to them, and it was really just a great process. And then I'll just share, yesterday too, we had our Awana conference, our fall virtual Awana conference. And if you were at our Awana conference, would you guys stand up yesterday? Stand up, ladies. We appreciate you guys. By the way, I just praise God. Like, our Awana leaders, they are cranking it up. They are doing a great job. And they are learning about this idea of discipleship, like what that looks like and how important that is. So that's Awana's main thing, and we're just excited about the growth and the relationships that we're building there. So we're going to slide right on over where we're going to be at this morning, which is we're going to pick up our series, The Flourishing Church. And when we talk about this idea, is we are responding to a world in crisis. And I don't know about you guys, you feel that crisis everywhere. Like you go out to the store, you try to get something, you can't get this, can't get that. There's just issues everywhere. People are angry, upset. Ready to get off the world if it would stop and let them off. It's just been a crazy time, right? And we are responding to that world, and we have to respond with credibility in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about. And the idea, this is sort of the vision and the aspiration. This is what we aspire to be as the Church of Jesus Christ locally right here in Willingboro, New Jersey in the year 2022. So I want to kind of take us what we're going to look at this morning. We want to talk about this issue, by the way, which is a great characteristic and credibility, is that the Church of Jesus Christ and the people in it, we have to be practicing obedience to God personally. And again, that's kind of one of our credibility issues, is that people say all the church does is talk, but they don't do what Jesus said. And sadly, a lot of times, they're right. And God wants us to grow in our obedience. And he's given us some tools, and we're going to look at those this morning that are really going to help us with that. I'll just share with you guys, and we'll go to the next slide, Sarah, if you would. Kind of this idea that I want to kind of drum into our minds, and in mine, too, this morning, is we aspire to be this flourishing church that's practicing obedience to God personally. And we might ask the question, does that really matter? I'm in church. Isn't that enough? People say that. People have this idea, if I come to church, I can do anything else I want. But it really does. And what does that look like? What does that mean? And then the question we have to get down to where the rubber hits the road is, how can I possibly keep God's commands when it seems like no one else is? Do you ever feel like that? Like, I want to do the right thing, but it seems like no one else is. How do I do that? And I want to kind of, let's listen in and see what God says about that this morning. So I want to take us to eternal truth. And I'm going to skip on down to the bottom. You know, the first part is sort of our whole series, Eternal Truth, right? You know, the flourishing church is made up of believers and families that have credibility in their imperfect but growing walk with Christ. A flourishing church is an obedient church. It is made up of believers who, check it out, personally love, trust, and bring glory to God, and blessing to themselves by knowing and practicing obedience to his commands through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can't emphasize that enough. So that's what we're going to kind of digest this morning. I want to take us to our quick characteristics, just by way of a quick review, where we were. So remember, first 2 weeks we talked about in this series, characteristics of this flourishing church are, one is we worship God passionately. And I praise God, I can feel it when we're here. But I hope I can feel it and you can feel it when I'm not. Like, I hope we're worshiping from Monday to Saturday. And then Sunday is just like, you know, the capstone of the week, right? That's what we want to be. And we hope we can grow in that area. Growing in Christ consistently, we talked about that last week. We got to keep on doing that. We got to keep on growing in God's grace and knowledge. And today we want to focus on practicing obedience to God personally. Next week we're going to talk about prayer. And that's so huge. We'll get to that as well. So let's just dive right on in to our next slide and we'll kind of get a sense of that this morning. You know, we looked at this idea about worship, and I want to just bring this slide out of our repertoire for a second. Remember, the big thing that if we're going to worship God, if we're going to grow, is that we got to know God truly from his word, right? We got to respond to who God is by valuing him accurately, and we respond to him daily with acts that are seen, demonstrable acts. So let's take a second out this morning, and we're going to go to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want to just look at our first point this morning that I want to think about with you guys today. So we're going to go down to that next slide. And it's, I called it Dissecting the History of Obedience. And if I stop for a second, you know, the Old Testament talks a lot about the children of Israel obeying and disobeying God. And the place I want to go, and hopefully you're there this morning, is Deuteronomy chapter 28. So let's just go there this morning. And I'm going to bring it up on the screen in a minute. And I'll just tee up that thought with the next slide, which we looked at early in our series. And you can just advance it for me, Sarah, if you would. Remember, we looked at this quote. And here's the challenge of the church, right? The church has this image problem. And by, I'm not saying we necessarily do all the time, but we all sort of do. We have this image problem because the church out there, we look at, read about in the paper or everywhere else, scandals, abuse, self-righteousness, and other unchristian behaviors of prominent Christians and everyday Christians like me and you. And it's created this huge chasm for the church. And the repentance, humility, and sorrow that ought to be there just isn't there. And that's creating a big challenge. And obedience is part of that issue. So we're going to go right on down to the next slide and kind of digest that for a second. And I want to look at this passage as we stop and just dive right on in as we dissect this idea of obedience. Here's the first thing. Get this in your mind. Write this down. Obedience brings blessing. It really does, right? Obedience brings blessing. You know, and think about this. How many folks are parents? When your kids were younger, right, did obedience bring blessing to them? Right? And it definitely brought peace to your home. Right? Amen. So obedience brings blessing. And we want to kind of dive into that. And I want to share with you guys. Do me a favor. I would just loop a little bit of homework. Look at Deuteronomy 28 with me for a second. How many verses are in Deuteronomy 28? Go look. 60-something, let's even get more accurate than that. 68 verses are there. And I want to throw this out. Do you think God cares about obedience? Because, by the way, he keeps on going with this into chapter 29 and chapter 30. And I want you to get this in your mind right now. God spends 14 verses talking about the blessings of obedience. And he takes the next 54 verses and he talks about the curses of disobedience to God. Get that in your mind. 14 and 54. Like, God wants us to understand about this issue of obedience. And let me say this, obedience matters to God. And I want to throw this out. Look what he says, and I'll throw this out. A couple things here. Remember, everybody look up. Remember the nation of Israel? They were known as, and the Lord used an adjective to describe them. It was a sort of a hyphenated word. Israel was a what kind of people? Stiff-necked people. Right? And it doesn't mean they slept on their pillow wrong last night. Right? It means that they were hard-hearted and hard-headed just like us. And they wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they thought they could get away with doing what they wanted to do, just like we do. You know, we say, well, I'm in church. You know, I did a lot of good things, so then I can go do this other stuff. You know, and that wasn't really true. So I want to share with you guys just real quick. Let's get a handle on this idea about obedience brings blessing. And I want you to write down this word on your bulletin this morning. The issue is our will. A lot of times that we kind of know what to do. We can always grow in that area of knowledge. But the issue is our will. It's, do I want to do what God wants me to do? And we'll talk about God gives us some help in that area. So look what he says. He says, and this will come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these nations shall come upon you and overtake you. Excuse me, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So get this in your mind for a second. Everybody look up. How many people here would like to be overtaken, jumped by the blessings of God? Right? I'm all about that. God, jump me and give me all the blessings you want. Right? Amen? And I'll throw this out. Look what he says. And he says it, by the way, everybody, you know, anybody feeling a little stiff-necked this morning? He says it so we get it, and he says it over and over and over in these 14 verses. Look what he says. He says, blessed you'll be in the city, and blessed you'll be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. In other words, you know what? If we obey God, the blessings go from A to Z. Beginning to end, right? If you want to kind of be like, you know, we're in church, Alpha to Omega, right? We got all the blessings, right? And that's what he's trying to get across to us. And he said, the Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God's given you. So God says, look it, if you want to get blessings in this Old Testament thing, do what? Obey God, right? Obey God. He continues on, and we'll move to the next slide, Sarah, if you would. He continues on in this passage. Remember I said the first 14 verses are about blessings, and he continues on, and he describes all the blessings that the Lord is going to give them. And I'll just take it right down to the end. It says, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. And by the way, he said that same thing. I put it in parentheses there because we can't look at all these scriptures. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 8. Remember what God told Joshua? He said, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Everybody look up for a second. You know why he says that? Because a lot of times our obedience is not 100%. You know, we kind of sort of obey, but sort of get what we want. You know what I mean by that? We kind of tweak it a little bit, right? Anybody know how to do that? We do that, right? You know, it's kind of like, You know, we don't really lie, but we don't really tell the truth. You know what I mean by that, right? You know, we kind of bend it and shift it a little so we can feel, we can sleep at night, but we're not really obeying God, right? And that's what he's talking about here. But he says, if you obey God from your heart, it's going to bring blessing. When you go in and when you come out. So that's the Old Testament principle we want to establish. Now, we're going to skip on down. I'm going to let it be. And here we go. Disobedience brings cursing. And by the way, he uses kind of like the same format. And again, he uses repetition to drive home the point, we got it. Obedience brings blessing, but disobedience brings cursing. And look what he says. It says, and it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And again, just stop for a minute. I am not looking for God to be mad and to overtake me with his wrath. Is there anybody? I don't think so, right? I can make a lot of people mad. And there's like two that I don't want to be mad. My wife and God. Right? So, and both of them can really hurt me, but God can really get me good. Right? So look what he says. And he continues on. And he says it in the same way, right? Cursed you shall be in the city. Cursed you shall be in the country. And he goes all the way down. Look at verse 19. Cursed you shall be when you come in and when you go out. Man, that's an awful spot to be in. We don't want to be in that spot, right? I don't want to be there. So we kind of establish this principle, right? That obedience what? Brings what? Blessing. Disobedience brings cursing. We want to go down to the next slide. And by the way, notice, and I said this, and I went up way real fast, and that's okay, Sarah. I said this. Notice the number of verses that are devoted to the cursing part. In a chapter of 68, 54 verses are devoted to the fact that if you disobey God, it's going to be bad for you. It's going to be bad for your family. You know, by the way, God says this in Exodus, in the Ten Commandments. He says that sort of these curses or these consequences, right, are carried on into the generations that follow. So, like, if you want to live like a sinner and disobey God, it's going to affect your kids. It's going to affect your grandkids. That behavior has consequences that are lasting. But praise God for his grace. That there's a way out of that, right? And now I want to share with you guys, here's the challenge. So everybody look up. It seems like us being reasonable people this morning, that obeying God is the way to go. Can I get amen? Amen? Right? Amen? Obeying God is the way to go. So here's the challenge. Enter in the New Testament, we have these guys called scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. Particularly the Pharisees and the scribes I want to focus on. They got in their mind that obeying God is really important. But it wasn't from their heart. And I want to just share with you Jesus' thoughts. And I want you guys to turn to Matthew 23. I didn't put it all up on the screen. Turn to Matthew 23. It's a lot like Deuteronomy chapter 28, by the way. And I'll share with you, you know, Matthew is a sort of a Jewish gospel. Matthew is a Jew. It's written to Jewish people, has a lot of Jewish history in it. And if you guys begin with me down in verse 13. Just turn there. This is sort of the capstone, but I want you guys to get this idea. If I start in verse 13 and I go down all the way down to verse 27, what word do you see a whole lot? Whoa. Right? And by the way, he's not saying, you know, Matthew's not backing up a truck and the guy behind him is going, whoa. He's not saying that, right? But here's what he is saying. Here's what God's saying. God's saying, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And look, what's the next word? Read it out loud for me. Hypocrites. He says, for you are like whitewashed tombs and indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Ow. I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. A lot of times, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are Pharisees. We look down our nose at everyone else. We can't see our own sin. We do all the right things in all the right places, and we do all the wrong things when no one's looking. And God's saying, wait a second, this is a problem. This is a problem. And Jesus calls these guys out, and I'm going to throw this out. You know, Jesus, when he spoke to the rank and file person who wasn't proud and pompous and hypocritical, Jesus was so sweet and kind and gentle. But when he called out the religious leaders, he didn't spare any words. He just said, this is what it is. And I want to challenge us as the Church of Jesus Christ in terms of our credibility. The world is looking at us a lot of times and they're saying, y'all are whitewashed tombs. The outside looks beautiful. You got the beautiful edifices like buildings. You know, you wear the nicest suits. You know, you look like you know what's going on. You look like you obey God. But I know your heart. And I see you in the trenches, and I'm not seeing that. And God, he called them out, and by application, he's calling us out too. He's calling us out. We got to be different. A church that flourishes has people in it that personally obey God even when it's hard. And everybody look up. Let me confess. It's hard for me too. It's hard for the deacons. It's hard for the leaders. We all struggle with those things. But God gives us some tools to help us with that. So obedience, so critical, but it's got to come from our hearts. So we're going to go to the next slide. And I'll just hit it real fast. We looked at this slide under worship, just kind of emphasize that point. Remember Jesus said this about the same people. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And get this in your mind. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So I'll throw this out. You know, for a lot of Christendom, they think if they get Sunday right, the rest of the world is okay. God's saying, nope, doesn't work like that. So this obedience got to come from our heart, and it's got to happen on Monday to Saturday just like it does on Sunday. So critical, right? And I'm just going to skip down. That other yellow verse is the quotation there from Ezekiel that we looked at before. So we'll go to the next slide and kind of get a thought on that. Here we go. So we kind of got this idea, right? Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings cursing. And get this, write this down. Obedience reveals our true relationship with God. It really does. Get that one in your mind. We're going to slide right on down. Next one's there. Here we go. So here's, check it out. So everybody look up with me. So what's the issue here? What's the issue afoot right now? What's the issue? The issue is our heart. You know, it's not our head. It's not what we do when everyone's looking. It's what we do when everyone's not. Right? The issue is our heart. And by the way, with God and Jesus Christ, the issue is always our heart. You know, and the scriptures just talk about that. You know, we read Proverbs tells us, right? Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. The heart is so critical, right, to these things. So I want to look at a couple things with you guys real quick this morning, which is this. I'm going to look at some scriptures that talk about the heart of obedience. And then I want to kind of draw out of that a couple conclusions for us to walk away with. And then we're going to talk about how in the world do I obey God now? We'll give some tips on that, okay? So let's check it out. For first thing we look at is the scriptures this morning. So Sarah, take us to John. Check out what Jesus says. And maybe we never thought about this. Like obedience, right? If it's a function of the heart, it's a whole lot easier to obey someone that I love. Isn't it? And we'll draw some conclusions. Look what Jesus said. He says, if you, and Greg read this so well, by the way, praise God for your new specs there, Greg. And I'm glad it wasn't double vision up here. It was good, right? It's better, right? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's this tie-in, right? That if we're going to obey God from our heart, we got to love God from our heart. We got to know God from our heart. We got to kind of build on those things so that we can truly do what God wants us to do passionately from the heart. And I want to throw this out to you guys. The first part in yellow, I kind of communicate that idea of love. Look at verse 16, and I want you guys to get a hold of this. And I appreciate this, by the way. I appreciate a deacon meeting of multiple years ago. Deacons always brought like a short devo, and Al brought this devo. And he said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit is the game changer. And by the way, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all things become new. And my heart changes. I have a disposition or a propensity to want to obey God, but I still have the flesh and a will to do what I want to do. So God says, you know what? In the midst of this problem, I'm going to give you a person who was like Jesus. By the way, when Jesus was with the disciples, do you think it was easier for him to obey God? I think it was a little bit easier, right? I thought, like, imagine if Jesus was sitting next to you in the pew. By the way, the Holy Spirit is. Imagine if Jesus was there. Would you be on your toes a little more? Would you be thinking a little bit more? Yeah, you might be tired, but you'd be saying, I got to say, wait, Jesus is right next to me, right? Right? And the Holy Spirit is that person, right? He is literally inside you. And when you do something wrong, you feel guilty. When you don't do something right you're supposed to do, you feel guilty. He's bringing scripture to your mind. Sometimes you're saying, stop, I don't want to think about that. I won't use your quote over, but remember I shared an eldest quote with her conversation with a friend. I will use it. Sorry. But her and her friend, they keep each other encouraged in the Lord. And whenever one's angry or hot about something, the other person brings scripture into the picture. And you remember, the other person was so hot, and the other was trying to share with her. She said, don't bring Jesus and the scripture into this. Right? But I'll throw this out. It's not even just a personal friend, but we have the Holy Spirit with us 24/7, and he is advocating the things of God, the way of God, the power of God, and the righteousness of God to us in every situation. Right? And that's what he says here. It says, Jesus, and by the way, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I want you guys to understand this. God's not saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, and if you love me, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. Because I love what he says later in this text. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. In other words, God knows, and I shared this verse last week. Remember Psalm 103? It says, God knows that you and I are what? Dust. So God's expectation of dust and fleshly dust isn't real high. He wants us to be righteous. He demands our righteousness. But he knows we're going to fail, so he gives us his Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to give you another helper, and he's going to be with you forever. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And it's so important. It says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him in the form of the Holy Spirit, right? So he's the game changer. Next verse, Sarah. And you can see here, right? He says, and Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So we praise God, the Holy Spirit is here, right? We know we need to love God from our hearts. If we love the Lord, we're going to obey the Lord, and the Holy Spirit's in this process of changing us. We're going to go right down to the next verse. 1 John, also written by the Apostle John, said these words. And by the way, I want you guys, everybody look up. Some of you guys are going, man, I know this, I get it, I appreciate what he's saying, but I'm like stuck in sin. Anybody, raise your hand. No. Yeah, nobody's going to do that, right? I get it, right? Nobody's going to do that. But we're stuck in sin, right? But praise God, God knows you're stuck in sin. And look what he says. He says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. You're stuck in sin, but God doesn't want to keep on going. He wants you to have credibility. He wants you to live a life of blessing. And he says, and if anyone sins, by the way, raise your hand. If anyone sins, that's me, right? Look what he says. He says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So here's the cool thing. God gave us a way of salvation that works and gets us out in real life. So when I mess up, it doesn't mean I'm a mess up forever. It means I messed up now, but I have an advocate who can change things. And I go to him, and it says, he himself is the propitiation, the substitutionary sacrifice that pays the penalty for all those sins and frees me from that. And not for ours only, but for all those. Now get on to verse 3. Look what he says. He says, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So keeping the Lord's commandments is a function of my love for him. It's the function of my knowledge for him, right? And he says, he who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Like God's maturing us, perfecting us when I begin to keep his commands. So I'm going to go down to the next slide. I just want to draw a couple conclusions real fast. Help me, Sarah. Boom. Here's some significant teachings. Jot these down. Genuine obedience is a product of what? What I know. Remember that passage in 2 Peter we looked at? Remember he said, and to your faith, add. And to this, add. And to this, add. Right? It's the process, right? So what I know about God, genuine obedience is a product of that. And here's what I want to explain about that. When I really know God, I have faith in God. And it enables me to obey God even when it's hard. So when I know God, that unlocks the obedience to God. Here's the second thing. Genuine obedience is a product of what I value or worship. If I really value God, I really worship God, not just Sunday mornings at 11 to 11:20, then guess what? It changes my obedience. Because I know that's the most important thing, and I have the ability to prioritize the most important thing in my life. And I'm going to ask the question, everybody look up. How can I now do that? Why do I have the ability to do that when I could not do that before I was saved? Amen, right? We got the Holy Spirit, right? And he is advocating God constantly to me so that I do what God wants, right? Genuine obedience is a product of what? I really love. Remember Jesus said this? He said, you cannot love God and mammon. Right? What do you really love? If I really love God, I can obey him. If I really just love money and all the things that money gets me, I'm going to disobey God and defer to that. You understand? And finally, genuine obedience is the product of who I trust. We all know the passage, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on what? Your own understanding. Stop for a second. You know it's too good, so I'm going to try to break you up. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Lean not on your own understanding. Isn't that a problem for us? I look at life and I go, I want to obey God, but if I do, this might happen, and I'm not going to like that. God says, strike that. Just trust me and obey me. You know, hence the song, right? Trust and obey, right? You get the idea, right? Who I really trust. And by the way, let's finish that out because, Gloria, you were on a roll. Come on, help me finish that out. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Yeah. And always acknowledge him, and he'll do what? He will direct our path. By the way, everybody look up. It may not be the path you all were thinking or I was thinking, but he'll direct it. He'll run the race you'll be able to run the race that's set before you by God, not the one set before you by you or me, right? That's important. So get those down real fast. Genuine obedience is the product of what? What I know, what I value or worship, what I really love, and who I trust. So it kind of helps us understand where we're going to go. All right, here's the problem. Here's the challenge. We're here. Now it's like we discovered the heart of obedience. There it is. And we want to slide down to the next one, and we want to kind of tie this up because the question that everybody's asking is, how in the world am I going to do that? So, Sarah, take us to that slide. So here's a couple things. Jot these down in your mind real fast. Developing the habit of obedience. There's three things we all got to do. One is we got to have a transformed mind. Everybody look up, especially right now. Our mind is really messed up. We have experienced so much, so fast, so continuing. Like, man, our mind just really needs to be changed. So we need to have a transformed mind. We need to have a controlled mind. We'll talk about that. And we need to have a spirit-controlled walk. By the way, everybody look up. Write this down. When you ever see the word walk, write down way of life. How you do your day. That's what we're talking about there, right? So let's jump in. Let's look at Scripture. Transform mind. Some of you guys are saying, I know that verse already. Pastor Gary, this is nothing new. You're right. It's not. He says, I beg you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service or worship. Give yourself to God that way. But then he says this. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Raise your hand if you heard that before. Keep your hand up if you still need a little transformation. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? I'll throw this out to us. All you have to do is spend any time on your computer or on any type of media of any kind, and I guarantee you it will get you afraid. It will get you mad. It will get you going a direction that you never planned to go. And I always throw this out. How many people, you get on media, like social media, all of a sudden you go, oh, my goodness. You know, it's 2 hours later. You know, and you can do it. Like, you see news stories, you track one, and then there's a link for another one, and then another one, and another one, and another one. And before long, you're mad at everybody. Right? It happens to me, too. Isn't it true? It's true. So God says, hey, you know what? Our mind needs to be transformed if I'm going to obey God. I don't need to go burn anything down. I don't need to go fight anybody. I don't need to do anything crazy. I just need to go obey God. And everybody look up. Is that what you're hearing out there? I don't think so. I think everyone's getting us all ginned up so we go do ridiculous things in the sight of God, and we think we're acting like God or for God, right? Our minds need to be really transformed, you know, and we're afraid of things that we don't need to be afraid of because God did not abdicate his throne. That's a big word. You know what that means? Left his throne. You know, he didn't abdicate that, right? But our minds so much need to be able to do that. We'll go to the next one, Sarah, if you would, please. Here's a big one for us. We need a controlled mind. And by the way, that is exactly sort of the next step from having a transformed mind. Everybody look up with me for a second. You know, here's a challenge. The battleground for your life is in your mind. The battleground for sin is in your mind. The battleground for truth is in your mind. The battleground for what you're going to do is in your mind. We got to bring these thoughts captive. And look what he says. For though we walk in the flesh, everybody get this in your mind. You know, everything you're going to do on this earth, you're going to do in this body. So you're going to live in your flesh. That's just how, once you leave this flesh, you're out of earth. Everything's changed. You're going to walk in and say, but we don't war according to the flesh. And by the way, everybody look up. Church of Jesus Christ, what are we trying to do? A lot? War in the flesh. We're trying to take ground in the flesh. We're trying to fight people in the flesh. Is that what God said? No. I take it back. So what has to happen? This mind's got to be transformed. By the way, that word is a present tense word, I believe. I didn't look that up this morning to check that out, this week to check it out. But I think it's present tense word. It means it's like an all the time thing. You know, like if your mind got transformed today at church and you're like, I can't wait for Monday. I'm going to be a new person. Please, please, please. Get transformed a little before you get tomorrow started. Right? Today is not going to be enough. We cannot live off of today only. Right? We got to be transformed, right? And look what he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but get this, right, you guys, but they're mighty in God. Has God ever lost a battle he chose to win? No, right? These weapons are mighty in God. It says, for pulling down strongholds. You know what? We are in a world where there's a whole lot of strongholds that are holding us and directing us and taking us places that we never dreamt we were going to go. Pulls them down. Casting down arguments. There's a whole lot of arguments out there that are plain wrong. We got to cast those down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And here's what it says, by the way. This is also a present participle, continuous action. We need to be bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Everybody look up. What's that mean? Here's what that means is, you know what? And I'll throw this out. There's an old illustration I'm going to use. This really, it's kind of a funny one. You cannot stop ideas from coming into your life. Is that true? Like, all you have to do is live. People are going to talk to you. You're going to hear it, you know, be on your car radio if you listen. You know, you're going, KYW, you want to hear what the traffic report is and hear all this other madness that's going on. You're going to hear it, right? You're going to hear it on social media. You're going to hear it from friends and family and everyone else. Right, all that stuff's going to happen. So here's what we got to do. We got to capture and take captive our thoughts so that the thoughts that are dwelling in our minds are thoughts that are biblical and from God. Does that make sense? And I'll throw this out. Here's the illustration. I like this. You heard this probably before. They say this. They say, you cannot stop the birds from flying over your head. Seems true, right? But you definitely can stop them from making a nest in your hair. Also true. Some of you guys, you don't have that worry. I'm on the way there too. Right? I kid him. But that's what we got to do. And I want to throw this out. So here's the thought. Every time you have these thoughts, right? People introduce thoughts to you. You got to take it through the sifting of Scripture and say, is this thought valid? And I even throw this out. Satan might put a thought in your mind like, your wife doesn't really love you. Is that true? No. Don't smile, wives. Right? You know, or, you know, there's all these thoughts. I'll throw this out. Let's just be real. We wrestle with those kinds of things. If we're honest, we are wrestling with those kinds of things. And if they get the upper hand, if we don't take them captive, they will detour our lives to places we don't need to or want to go, and they'll displease God. So we got to bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you know, being a Christian is always being a thoughtful, thinking, you know, person who's analyzing life, right? Last thing, because I know we got to go. Last thing, right? Sarah, help me with the next one, please. We need a spirit-controlled walk. And I'm going to throw this out. Just pick it out. We're going to look at a couple of verses, not the whole thing. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things you wish. Here's the issue, right? Who is in control of your life? And I'll just throw this out. If your emotions are in control, the flesh is in control. Does that make sense? Yeah. By the way, if you're so, you know, up, that can be bad. If you're so down, that can be really bad. You know, or if you're so angry, think about what that does. Think about the amazingly righteous things that come out of our human anger. You don't have to think too long, right? The Bible says it, right? It says, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Those two things are just incompatible. So that's in control, not the Holy Spirit. We're headed the wrong direction, going wrong. And I just want to encourage us, and by the way, the middle part of that verse, it helps us to understand who's in control. In your life, if you see love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, what's in control? The Spirit. If in your life you see the works of the flesh, all these sins, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, or heresy, what's in control? The flesh. And I'll throw this out. Let's take the test regularly, like every day. What's in control? You know, and it happens to me. I get mad, and what happens? Bad stuff. We got to do that. So we're going to take us, Sarah, to the close of that real fast. Two slides down. We're going to wrap it up. Are we stuck? I'm not sure, Sarah, if you can advance that. There we go. So how do I do this? How do I obey? Transform mind, a controlled mind, and a spirit-controlled walk. Right? Last slide. Bam. Here we go. What do we do? How do I dedicate myself to being obedient to God? Everybody look up. Evaluate and look at your disobedience. Be real. Like, don't lie to yourself. Be honest. Where are you struggling to obey God? Where are you struggling? Be real. Focus on transformation. You need to have a vital relationship every single day with the Word of God. We need to be cleansed. Most of us probably get a shower every day or more than one to not be offensive. A day without the Word of God cleansing my life will probably leave me offensive. Right? And I want to ask you this question and we're done. So you know where you are. I know where I'm at, kind of. What are we going to do tomorrow? What are some steps we're going to take? And I encourage you guys, just stop for a second. Some of you guys say, okay, close my Bible, I'm ready to go. Write down, what are you going to do to obey God better tomorrow? What are you going to do? Because it can't be nothing. You know, they say, right, it's kind of like lunacy to keep on doing the same thing and expect a different result, right? What are we going to do? And what we're going to do is we're going to ask our praise team to come help us to focus on that right now. And we'll close in prayer at the end.